Hey, this is Gunn from the podcast The Indefensible Middle Ground, and today is January 29th, 2016. I watched the presidential debate last night for the Republican Party. That was the debate that didn't have their current front runner because he is having a spat with the channel that it's on, so he bowed out, and it was a more substantive debate. It was actually a little... people who were tuning in because of all the politics of infighting probably didn't follow as deeply the inside baseball stuff that was going on, like the nuanced way that the Republican establishment and Tea Party view immigration. Trump is just a Democrat strawman argument for immigration. So if you think the Republican view of immigration is all immigrants are bad, we should put up a big wall, keep all the immigrants out, and Muslims are scary, then you didn't understand any of the stuff that was going on in the debate, because they were actually talking about what the actual things they need to do are, and the difference between a path to citizenship and legalization, or amnesty. So a path to citizenship, amnesty, and legalization, these are terms that were being bantied around, and there was no talk of banning entire ethnicities and stuff like that. So it was a more substantive debate. And a lot of people kind of tuned out because of that. They didn't really follow the mood of it. Ted Cruz seemed a little desperate. Rubio looked good. He had a weird eyebrow thing at one point. Christie sounded great. He would make a great attorney general. He mentioned prosecution. He mentioned prosecuting Hillary Clinton, and I think he is aiming for the appointment to Attorney General. Kasich is terrible. I get kind of frustrated when I see him up on the stage. He's not polling well. He is kind of a nobody. He looks terrible under the lights, and he even took an opportunity to help out his party and maybe take some good shots at Sanders and Clinton because of the whole Trent, Michigan thing. Tech and I were talking about how there's one Republican in Michigan, and an entire failed bureaucracy of Democrats are all pointing at that one Republican going, he's the one who caused all the bad stuff, not us, not this giant waffle pile of just mess that we've created. It's definitely that one guy over there that's not even in our group. So blame that guy, not us. And that's what's going on. And Kasich was asked his opinion on the situation, and he threw the one Republican under the bus, saying, well, I'm a great governor, and I go all over Ohio. I go to Toledo. I haven't been to Toledo. Well, that happened once. Yeah, so it was really disappointing because he already is negative. He's already a negative person with negative numbers, negative appearance on the camera. He looks terrible under lights. He's got a bad presence. He just seems like a crotchety, fussy guy. And then for him to have an opportunity... He's handed a perfect opportunity to say, hey, I at least can point out when the Democrats, the people that he's supposed to be running against, he could have pointed out their hypocrisy, and instead he picked on the governor of Michigan, which the governor of Michigan's not running for president. The Democrats are. The Republicans are. So it didn't make any sense. He had a perfect opportunity to make his party look good and to challenge the Democrats' scapegoating. But he didn't, because he's terrible. He is a terrible politician, and he's bad at his job, and he should really bow out of the race for president and stop wasting all of our time. Ben Carson was a flop. I still like him. I think he'd be a great president. And you might be going, why? What's wrong with you? Why would you say that? Well, I would like for everyone to remember, you're hiring an employee. You're not choosing a religion. So you're just looking for somebody who will fill those shoes and do the job. This is not your new God. So a soft-spoken guy who's smart enough to delegate is really the best you can ask for. You don't want a charismatic leader who's going to make a bunch of crazy promises. You want a smart person who is going to delegate. And that is what he has promised to be. And also, he doesn't think that vaccines give you herpes simplex, AIDS, autism, ADD, and Zipa, like all the other candidates apparently do. So, yeah, Rand Paul is fun. I dislike him. I don't trust him. And I agree with damn near everything he said. So he was really smart on Syria last night. Like I said, I think he's an isolationist. I think he's a closet anti-Semite. But he was dead on his points on Syria. So I don't know. Paul could be a good asset to whatever Republican ends up winning the primary. And Jeppers was okay, like Rubio. They both did okay. I really don't care about them. Florida has always had too much time in the news. And there was too much Florida. There was too much Florida on the stage up there. There was some other news today. There's some other news that came out today, I should say. Clinton cannot escape the fact that she was trafficking in top secret emails. The emails that they missed the court order deadline to deliver is because they were just inescapably chock full of top secret stuff, like undeniably top secret stuff, because that's been their whole thing up to this point is, oh, that wasn't top secret. That wasn't. We didn't know that was top secret. It's not labeled top secret. And this stuff apparently is so blatantly top secret, the news has just leveled with everybody. And I heard it on ABC News. So this isn't a WorldNet Daily story. It is a ABC News story. She's definitely done some doo-doo. So hopefully, if we have a Justice Department, then if America has a Justice Department, then maybe there will be an indictment. But I don't know if America does have a Justice Department, because they'll be all over one of those violent criminals like Dinesh D'Souza and throwing him in federal prison. But I don't know. I don't know about Hillary. I don't know if they can attack one of their own. So I don't think America has a Justice Department, but we'll see. We'll see. They might surprise me. Bloomberg might toss his hat in the ring. I disagree with most of his big government policies, but I love him as a person. He flew to Israel to stand with our allies. Well, they were fighting terrorism, and all the other Democrats were supporting the Qatar-backed terrorists. So, Behatzlacha, he's a mensch. The governor of Virginia, Terry McAuliffe, he was a baby yesterday, and apparently is a man today. I will clarify this. Yesterday, a bill was passed by the state Senate to prevent it was passed to prevent the stupid tolls he wanted on 66, which would have inconvenienced everyone. Whenever utopian not pragmatic minded people put forth an idea that's going to solve everything. They always think that it's only going to affect the rich 1%, and it'll be like an A-bomb that affects everyone in the entire area. And that was what the tolls on 66 would have been. They would have affected all the working people who use those, and not just the 1%, which they think they're always sticking it to, even if they're just stabbing me in the back. So, he was pretty pissy, but clearly had been advised that the tolls were a bad idea. So, this is the really weird part. He puts out a message that he won't veto it. He won't veto it. Not that he won't sign it or that he will sign it. He puts out a message that he won't veto it because that's what the Republicans really want him to do. And I'm not going to play their game. He puts out a message saying that, which is the craziest thing. Because it's a conspiracy theory. He puts out that he is a crazy person who believes in this wild conspiracy that the tolls were something that everybody wanted, but the Republicans were just making the stink about it. Not that it's something that his constituents didn't want, that their constituents didn't want, and that the people have been complaining about ever since they've been proposed, and the outcry has made it to the highest levels of the Virginia government, all across the D.C. area, everybody who needs to use those roads. And instead of saying, hey, I heard your outcry, and you know what? I'm going to reach across the aisle here, and I'm going to sign this bill. Instead of saying that, he puts out this really bizarre message saying that this bill that they passed is all just a vast right-wing conspiracy to make me look bad. They want me to veto this, but I'm not going to. So in other words, what he's saying is, I agree with them, I'm going to sign it, but I don't want to say that, so instead, I'll just sound like a crazy person. And that's what he did. That's what he did yesterday. Now, today, on the other hand, he apparently has leveled out because he came up with a compromise on the concealed carry deal with the Republicans. And if you weren't following that, well, Terry McAuliffe doesn't know anything about the real world or self-defense or guns. So he has been trying to infringe upon Virginia gun rights for a while. And I'm guessing Democrats sat him down and explained to him that this is Virginia. Democrats, independents, Republicans in Virginia, if any of them want to be elected, stay elected, ever dream of being elected in the future, you can't act like a gun grabber. So he had this bill that he was proposing with the, actually it was basically an executive order, not even a bill. It was an executive order with the state attorney general that they were just going to deny out-of-state concealed carry permits. So if somebody came to Virginia from another state with a concealed carry permit that has reciprocity in Virginia, well, they could get arrested because all the reciprocity from other states has been suspended. So, you know, a doctor or an attorney or a businessman from West Virginia driving through Virginia could be arrested and thrown into prison for a firearms related felony because Terry McAuliffe he doesn't know how guns work. He doesn't know the process that people go through to get concealed carry permits. So apparently somebody explained that to him, and they settled on basically a couple of common sense things, which is, I don't find these offensive, that if you have a permanent protection notice, meaning like you have been stalking and threatening or physically attacking someone because you're a crazy person, and they have a permanent stay away order against you, that you have to disarm yourself. That one is kind of a scary one because I've seen other versions of that that spread that out and into not permanent stay away notices, which I don't know if any of you have had situations where a friend is going through an ugly custody battle, and I have. I had a friend who was going through an ugly custody battle, and his baby mama called the cops on him for literally no reason. She made up a story, and he hadn't been around her for 48 hours, and cops were surrounding his car, searching through his stuff, and it almost cost him his job because he was working as a security contractor, an armed security contractor at the time, and she was trying to make a fuss about him, and some of those laws are kind of scary like that because I don't have any problem if there is a sizable amount of evidence to say that this person has ill intent towards you or is stalking and attacking you. And in that case, yeah, it's, I don't have any problem with them being disarmed because they sound like a total crazy nut job. But, my issue is if it's sort of a, he said, she said, take his guns, that's kind of a scary world there. So I'll have to do a little more research on that. The other part, which I do like, is if you applied for a concealed carry permit in Virginia and got denied, you can't go to West Virginia, apply for a concealed carry permit in West Virginia, get approved, and then come back into Virginia and say, hey, I've got this here, so now I can carry here. That will be denied. That is, I can't remember what they call it, like state shopping or something like that. So I'm glad to see that they kind of worked it out to have a compromise there. That is the news from D.C. That is the news from D.C. and Virginia and Iowa. And I can't wait to see this political, this presidential season like form into something, because right now it's just a blob of cells. It doesn't have any fingers or toes. So let's get this thing past the first trimester, and see who's still remaining. I really hope Bernie Sanders. I really hope he makes it on the Democrat side, because he is really funny to impersonate, and I think that is for comedy's sake, I think that's the most important part of presidential candidates, is how fun they are to impersonate. So if we have Cruz on the Republican side, who basically just sounds like a George H.W. Bush, well, then I think that would be just fine. Because, yeah, he's got that creepy high-pitched voice, like, not, it's not high pitched. It's like soft, but still forceful. Like George H.W. Bush. So we've got that weird voice on the Republican side. I think that's the weirdest. Ben Carson's pretty fun to impersonate, but I have to say Cruz is funnier. And then of course Bernie Sanders on the other side. So God bless and good night. Let's make fun of the news later. All right.